And Lord, I pray that you will speak through me, that none of it is my spin on the scripture, but your words, not mine, as I am to myself. Amen. This is a rather grown-up scripture, isn't it? It's a tough one. And I'm going to share as the Lord lays on my heart. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, like most scripture, makes you sit up and rethink from your personal experience and, you know, how we find different meanings to scripture as you read on. But this one made me sit up. It's a scripture about our Savior reminding us that caring for one another is very, very close to his heart. Kindness, simple word, be kind. How often do we tell our children to be kind to each other? How often do we stop to be kind? That is what it's really about, kindness, simple kindness. From all the way from the Old Testament right through the New Testament, we are encouraged. In fact, sometimes we're commanded to do good, to be kind, even be kind to people we don't like, people who are not kind to us. There's a scripture in Hebrew which speaks to me often, and it's Hebrew 13:1. It says, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing. It says, let mutual love continue. Strangers, you may say, I don't know the stranger, so there's no mutual love or likeness, nothing, you know. But then it goes on to say, by doing so, you have entertained angels without knowing it. If you remember in Genesis, the three men who came to Sarah, before Isaac was born, they didn't know they were angels, but they cooked and served them. And when they left the blessing of who we are now, they left that with them. Our God is a good, good Father. This is my anthem now. I think that CD is going to be scratched. I play it morning, afternoon. My children are fed up, but I don't stop playing it because he is a good Father. He is loving, he's kind. You know, maybe sometime the Old Testament he may seem a bit scary, but it is in this wonderful compassion, love, kindness. This is what led him to give his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Kindness. And if we are made in his likeness, then that DNA is also in us. We are also capable of being kind. The Bible doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. He's incapable of lying. He says we are like him. We are made in his image. So we can do it. And the interesting thing was, I got a text from Chris when I was in Accra about doing this talk. Another time, I thought it was 3 weeks, 4 weeks away. I didn't know it was the weekend after I got back. So I said, yes, yes, of course, I'll do it. And I hit the ground running, trying to get this round. As usual, my children help with the typing and things. Thank you, girls. They are kind girls. The timing of this talk has come at a time when many of us are feeling very tender-hearted at the moment. all the images we see on television of the devastation in Syria and all the other warring countries, and it takes a really, really hard person not to feel for these people. And, you know, people are signing petitions and people are donating money and clothing. And in fact, some people are even willing to for us to open our borders to have some of them in. That is wonderful. Proverbs 19 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for all his needs. That's fantastic. When you watch the news, we act on it. We pray. We even think about it during the day. And as we pray, that's an act of kindness. And like I said, we sign petitions and encourage our government to give asylum to some of these people. This is kindness. This is what God wants us to do. And it's wonderful that we do that. But what about showing kindness to our neighbors, our colleagues, even the annoying ones, the people we see week after week at church? How is it, easy is it for us to seek their welfare? Do we know what is happening in their various lives? How often do we wait when we say, how are you, Joseph? Do we actually listen? Do we really want to know? Any time we show an act of kindness to anyone, we do it for our Lord Jesus. No act of care, love, compassion goes unnoticed by God. And remember, God remembers the poor. God remembers the broken. And so should we. It's very easy to use our situations as an excuse. So when we, you know, we're busy, I work, I'm a widow, I've got children, I've got to do a lot of things, so really I can't make time for someone else. Or I've got too much on, I've got too many kids, I don't have enough money, I have my own problems. Ask the Holy Spirit to make time for you. Who do we invite into our homes for coffee, for lunch, or just a chat? How often do we make time for people outside our friendship groups? It is good to be kind to your friends and family. It's absolutely important. But what about the people we meet daily? Our bus driver. That sad man sitting at the bus stop. They look like they're not in a good place, but it's really none of my business. Or should I? The drunk sitting outside the church. The new member of our congregation, do we know their names? Or even that cantankerous man who quarrels with you about the hedge? Luke 6:33 says, and if you do good only for those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. Proverbs 11:17 says, a good person who is kind benefits himself, but a mean man hurts himself. Let's remember that Christ Jesus' mission was marked by justice, mercy, and kindness. They come together. Compassion moved him to act. So we see that lady at the back of the church who is sobbing their eyes out. They haven't said anything to us, and really, you know, we don't do that. It's not PC. You don't just barge into people's space. But she might be coming to church for the last time thinking, that's it, you know, I don't even get the comfort in that place where there's supposed to be comfort. So maybe I should go and take that pot of pills. Maybe stopping and say, hello, are you all right? Or just sitting by them and giving them a tissue instead of running to go and speak to your friend Mary down there might do something. That's kindness. Our Lord was moved to act. Love is a verb. It's a doing thing. We say that at home a lot. So there's no point in loving when you don't act on it. Our Lord Jesus didn't just tell parables, didn't just invite people to house groups or to church. He acted on that, on love. In Zechariah 7:9, it says, long ago I gave these commands to my people. You must see that justice is done, and you must show kindness and mercy to one another. Zechariah 7:9. You must. That's the Lord speaking. That's God speaking. Jesus saw people's needs and he met them. Granted, we're not Jesus, but we are his followers, and we really should be imitating him. Our Lord healed. He touched. Scripture says we have the same power they had in all those days. We can also heal in the name of Jesus. We can take the time out to pray for our friend, our colleague, our neighbor, our brothers and sisters in Christ for healing. That's kindness. That is doing it for Lord Jesus. He touched. I can speak for myself that sometimes I come in and I get a big hug and I think, oh, thank you, Lord. You can't just probably can't go out and hugging everybody, but a little touch. He fed and interceded. He's still doing it. We've been talking a lot about breaking bread and sharing in our homes. Why don't we challenge ourselves to invite somebody we've never really spoken to? You know, someone, an acquaintance at church. Come and have lunch with us. So it's not just the people who can't reciprocate. This is doing it for Jesus. This is our people. This is what he means by, as you did it for these, the least of these ones, you did it for me. I have a testimony this morning. I came in and I was in a foul mood because my girls made me late and I was ranting and I was raving and I was going, help me, God. And he gave me a parking space. So I parked and I still came in and full of apologies. And I really don't like it when people remind me that I'm late. It's this thing, connection between Africans and being late. And it really winds me up when people say, oh, you're late again. And I just get very unchristian about that. So I said to the girls, And because of you, people are going to tell me I'm late. And I was not happy with them. Anyway, I got in and I was met and we went for prayers. And it was fantastic because I had screamed, help me, God. And there's a group of people in the office praying, and they touched me, and they caught me. That was love in action. They caught me. Nobody thought, oh gosh, it's late. They caught me with prayer. I walked in and I was told, we're just praying for you because we know you're not coming by yourself. You've got teenagers. Yes, I do have those things, two of them. And they caught me. They caught me with prayer. And I cried a little bit, but it wasn't out of sadness, but it was that God, the God of now, the instant, answered my cry for help me, because I didn't want to be flustered. And this topic is a bit tricky, so I just wanted to be calm and to come and speak. But there was that act. It was there. There was love in action. And then before I could leave, someone said, what are you doing for lunch? I said, I don't know. I haven't thought. I said, come home. Come and eat with us. That was done for Jesus. And I'm also learning, as much as we have to give, I'm learning to accept. Sometimes God answers our prayers, because the fact is, I'm totally out of all over the place coming from Ghana. I haven't put anything out for lunch, and I'm usually like that. And I'm the one who is always calling people. But he says, stop, let me bless you. And I've learned humility to say, yes, thank you. I haven't sorted our lunch. So thank you, you know who you are. We can do all of the above. We can also do what Jesus did, because he says we can. He's empowered us. He's left us with the Holy Spirit. If we desire, if we want to come out of ourselves and we pray, the Holy Spirit himself will bring up love from deep inside us. Being kind and sharing doesn't come easy in this day and age. But as followers of Christ Jesus, we should. He will equip us to show love. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? Verse 8 says, he has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do we only make time for people we know and love? What about some random acts of kindness? It is doable. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to show love daily. Let's challenge ourselves every day. One random act of kindness. Love your neighbor as yourself is part of a command. It's a great command. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Love is a verb. It's a doing thing, a doing word. Every act of kindness brings healing. It pleases our Savior every time we stop and give of ourselves. We do it for our Lord. Let's continue to pray so we don't miss any opportunity to serve others, to show kindness in our hurting and broken world. The Good Samaritan saw an opportunity to help, and he did. He looked beyond prejudice and saw the bigger picture. Unlike the Pharisee and the priest, he put what was important aside. He put what was urgent aside. Helping the man before what we would see as urgent, getting to our destination. Meaning, what's important was urgent. We live in a world of urgency. So urgent, I need to get there. So we miss important things. We miss opportunities to do God's work. To heal, to bless. Not for ourselves, but for Jesus. Because he said again, as you did it for these ones, you did it for me. I'll end by sharing a daily reading I read a few weeks ago. And it goes like this. Mary enjoyed her midweek church group meeting when she and several friends gathered to pray, worship, and discuss questions from the previous week's sermon. This week, they were going to talk about the difference between going to church and being church in a hurting world. She was looking forward to seeing her friends and having a lively discussion. As she picked up her car keys, her doorbell rang. "I'm so sorry to bother you," said the neighbor, Sue. "But are you free this morning?" Mary was about to say that she was going out when Sue continued. "I have to take my car to the repair shop. Normally, I would walk or cycle home, but I've hurt my back and can't do either at the moment." Mary hesitated for a moment and then smiled and said, "Of course, I'll take you." Mary knew her neighbor only by sight, but as she drove her home, she learned about Sue's husband's battle with dementia and the utter exhaustion that being a caregiver can bring with it. She listened. She sympathized and promised to pray. She offered to help in any way she could. Mary didn't get to go to church that morning to talk about sharing her faith. Instead, she took a little bit of Jesus' love to her neighbor who was in a difficult situation. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help us to be ready to touch his people. The book of James says, "My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can that faith save you? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, 'God bless you, keep warm and eat well,' if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with the faith. If it is done alone and includes no action, then it is dead." Brothers and sisters, let us pray that our Lord will help us to be ready at any time to be his hand and feet to those in need. God bless you.